So we left off last week. We were discussing bathing during Avelus. So today we're going to finish up the bathing, and then we'll go into Ni'ilus Hasandal. I mean, Kichol Pirkos Ni'ilus Hasandal, and hopefully Talmud Torah as well. So a lot to do. Let's get started. So the halach is that Tevilas Mitzvah is mutter, but it's aser for Nida to be tovel, because we pass in that there's no Tevila b'zman Mitzvah b'zman Hazeh. Meaning, if a woman is an Avel and she has her little Tevila come up during the Shiva, so really make her Adin, if you hold Tevila b'zman Mitzvah, she'd be able to do a Tevila even BMA Avelusa. But the problem is that nowadays we don't do a Tevila b'zman. We do a Tevila whenever we do a Tevila, meaning after Shiva Nikiyim, even though she's really only a Nida, so she can't do it during the Shiva. So the Torah in Simchat Shin Pei Aleph quotes a Deya that even if ain't Tevila b'zman Mitzvah, she could still be Tovel. But the Beis Yosef points out that that's the Shita of Tosos and Beitza, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and Tosos only said that derech dichui, meaning Tosos only said that as a dichui of a possibility, but not really as a firm statement. And therefore, in Shin Pei Aleph Seif Hey, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Nida Shen Is Dam Nizman Tvi Lasi Bimei Avela, Eina Toveles. She's not allowed to go to the mikveh. The Rama then adds, V'kol Shekein She'ein Rochatas Lilbosh Levanim. Certainly she's not allowed to bathe in order to start her Shiva Nikiyim. Aval Miyad Achar Zayin Aval Bishnagu Isa Rechitza Kolamid Mikom Akum Yimteres Raksha Tishana Rechitza Ktsas. But if it's after the Shiva's over, then she can bathe, even though the Rama is of the opinion that you're not allowed to bathe throughout Shloshim in warm water. He said just do a little bit of a shinoi, and that would be good enough. The Shach and Sivkat and Gimel and Taz and Sivkat and Beis quote Tshuvas Masas Bin Yamin that allows even being Rochets B'toch Zayin, because it's only by Tevila that we say is Aser when it's not Letzorech, but the Rechitza that she needs to do in order for to do the Libun is a Tzorech Mitzvah, meaning if you hold that a woman has to wash herself out, like the Minhag of the Rama that we saw quoted in Kuf Tzadi Vav, that a woman has to wash herself out in order to do the Hefsek Tara, so that's it. That's not to be able to have Tashmish during Shiva, that's to be able to get started on her Shiva Nikiyim so that she'll be able to have Tashmish after Shiva. So that's Litzorich Mitzvah. That's going to be Mutter. The Tevila is not Litzorich Mitzvah. Taz also writes that the Ramah is not trying to tell you that she shouldn't have Yimei Libun, that she shouldn't start her Shiva Nikiyim until after Shiva, because that's for sure not true. Meaning she could definitely wear Big Day Lavan without a Rechitza. If you look in Yerideya and the Ramah and Kuf Tzadi Vav Siv Gimel, that's clear, meaning it's not Nessa, it's an Eitza Tova, right, to wash herself out before she does Hefsek Tara. But it's not necessary, even if she's not Rechitza Rak Panel Shalmata, it's Sagi, and Mishas Adchak, even without Rechitza Klal, we say in Simon Kuf Tzadi Vav, it's going to be Mutter. And therefore, Lemaisa, even though we're not somich on the Masas Binyamin against the Ramah to be make a legamri on a rechitza, but she could be rochit paneh shel mata and start wearing white and start wearing big day levanim and start counting her shiva nikiyim. And the someone who's machmir not to start shiva nikiyim during shiva is einu ela min hamatmihim, that's not appropriate. She absolutely can start her shiva nikiyim. Aruch HaShulchan quotes from the Tshuvas Panim Meiros that if a woman's little tefillah is Matzoi Shabbos and Friday she's still in Shiva, meaning the Avelus finishes on Shabbos, so she just gets up a little bit before Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos, but she's still in Avelus, but the Avelus ends on Shabbos, she could do Chafifa on Yom Vav, the Aruch HaShulchan says. She could do Chafifa on Erev Shabbos. But the Beis Lechem Yehuda disagrees, and he says that she's not allowed to do the Chafifa on Erev Shabbos. Did we discuss that woman in Hilchos Nida? I think we did, right? So what was our conclusion on the halacha? Anyone remember what did we say? What did our poskim say on that? Was that on the list of questions to ask Rabbi Sablowski that we never got around to? Okay. That sounds right. Sounds right. Okay, good. I'll take it. Okay, so that's as far as bathing is concerned. Now, what about Kichul Pirkos? So the Gemara in Ksubas, Dav Dalar and Beis, and in Eil Megalchin and Dav Chafa and Beis says that a woman whose father-in-law or mother-in-law dies is not allowed to be kocheles u'bokeses. She's not allowed to adorn herself whatever types of cosmetics. So the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam says from there that a woman who's in her own Avelus also is not allowed to do anything like that, because that's kirchitza damu. So she shouldn't be, you know, using perfumes and cosmetics and things like that. So the Tur writes that an eshes ish is mutter la'achar shloshim, and a kala that has avel, that becomes an avel, toch shloshim l'chupasa, is mutter l'skashet afilu b'toch shiva. Meaning if it's within 30 days of her getting married, she's allowed to do kishut even while she's sitting shiva. So Beis Yosef points out that the makar of that is a gemara in Ksubis, that gemara in Ksubis in the first parak, that ein monin takshitin min akala kol lamed yom, that we're not monea takshit min akala kol lamed yom after she gets married. So even though the Ramaz machmir not to bathe within 30 days normally during Shloshim, by Kichul and Pirkus, the Ramah doesn't even mention a minuk to be machmir, right? Meaning, even though when it comes to Rechitza, which we're compared to Kichul and Pirkus, the Ramah says that the minuk is to be machmir within 30 days, the Ramah doesn't mention such a minuk in Shloshim, to not do Kichul and Pirkus. By an Eishas Ish and a Kala. So Chachmas Adam writes that they weren't machmir by an Eishas Ish because the whole Chumra of Rechitza is only Mishum Tespores, right? Meaning, what was the whole Chumra of Rechitza of the Ramah? Is because when you go to the bathhouse, they also have a barber service or whatever, a haircut service there. So it's the Derech HaRotzchum L'staper. So it's not Shaykh to make such a gezeira when it comes to Kichul Pir, because I guess they didn't have a beauty parlor there or whatever else. The Tur also writes that a bogeres who's single, an older single, I guess they would call it, is allowed to kichul pirkus, but is asur b'rechitza b'chamin, and nara is asur afil b'kichul pirkus. All of this is in shin pei aleph si'if vav. Right, so all of this is black and white in Shulchan Aruch. Isha lo tikchol lo tiparkes b'mei avela shekalelu asurim kirechitza. These are all just like bathing. Eshes ish is only asur toch shiva, after shiva's muteres, shelo tiskan al baila. A kala that becomes an avel during shloshim yom, during the first 30 days after her wedding, is allowed to be miskashit even during shiva. And a bogeres that becomes an avela, since she needs a shidduch, she's mutaris b'kichul pirkus, just not rechitza b'chamin kol gufa. And a nara who's an avela is asura even b'kichul pirkus. Okay, good. So moving along. So the minhag is that people don't put on makeup and they don't put on perfumes and things like that during the shiva. Now ni'ilas hasandal. The gemara moed katan tesvav and beis. Avel is not allowed to do ni'ilas hasandal. Not allowed to wear leather shoes. So the rush. In Simulam Zayin and the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam say, yeah, dafka sandal shal or is asr, meaning leather shoes are asr. Why? Because we learn it from Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, and that's what the halacha is in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, based on the Gemara in Yuma, daf ayin ches amud beis. The Kaf HaChaim interestingly says in Tav Kuf Nun Dalid Os Ayin Zayin that he even Or Shal Dag Va'of is Aser. Or does it mean Dafka Or Behema? If somehow, do they make shoes out of fish leather? I don't know if that's even possible. But let's say if you have whale shoes, that sounds like it's expensive. Crocodile. What? Crocodile leather. Okay, is that a dog? So that would be asr as well. Ramban writes that a woman who is a chaya just gave birth, and the Shach Sivkanal says who adin chola or someone has a makar paraglo is allowed to wear leather shoes kol shloshim yom. Meaning the chaya kol shloshim yom, within 30 days of giving birth, she could wear leather shoes. And anyone is allowed to wear leather shoes if there's a sakanas akrav, if they could otherwise get bitten by a snake, because they don't have proper footwear. And similarly, the Ramban writes that if you're holich b'derech, it's also mutter, and it's only when you're yagia le'ir, when you get to the city, they should be cholitz. So the Rosh quotes a Maharam, That so practically, when does one take off their shoes? So the Rosh quotes Maharam that before you go to the Beis HaKvaros, you take off your shoes. Meaning, you know what's going to happen in the Beis HaKvaros. There's going to be a Stimas HaGolel. The Avelus is going to begin. So before you ever go to the Beis HaKvaros, you should take off your shoes. That's what Maharam says. So the Rosh says, what do you mean? You're not an Avel yet. Stimas HaGolel didn't happen yet. Me'echi Tesi, they have to take off your shoes in advance. So the Mechaber in Shinayin Sifal says, Min Adin, you don't have to take off your shoes until you get home back from the Beis HaKvaros. But he says the minhag is that we take off our shoes in the Beis HaKvaros right after the Stimas HaGolel, and that's what Raman Shinpei Bei Sifhei quotes the minhag that the Mechaber mentions to be Holich Yachaf from the Beis HaKvaros Keshemes Avivi Imo. So the Rama writes Lo Reisi Nogin Kain, that even though there is such a minhag to go without shoes from the Beis HaKvaros when Mes Avivi Imo, I didn't see that that's the minhag. So the Bach attacks the Rama. He says, you know, the whole idea that we're allowed to wear leather shoes is because of the Rishas Hagoyim, that they're going to mock us, they're going to abuse us, they're going to do all sorts of things. But Meikar Adin, certainly you have to take off your shoes in the Beis HaKvaros. And the Shach writes that even the Ramaz Moda, that when there's no Chashash Mishum Rishas Hagoyim, of course you take off your shoes in the Beis HaKvaros. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that it could be that only Beis HaKvaros you take off your shoes, but Chazor LeBeiso you put it back on because of the Bizayon to go around barefoot. Meaning the two aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. Meaning it's possible that yes, you take off your shoes in the Beis HaKvaros, and it's possible that you take off your shoes again when you get home. Take off your shoes in Beis HaKvaros is a symbol of Avelus, there's Stimas HaGolel, and now therefore there are no shoes on. But the Aruch HaShulchan writes, but then it could be that because of the Rishas HaGoyim or whatever other reasons that we had, because of Bizyonos or whatever, when you're walking and you're traveling in the street, that you put your shoes back on. So Beis Yosef quotes from the Kolbo that no, you just don't have to take them off at all until you get back home. You don't even have to take them off in the Beis HaKvaros. So in Simon Shin Pei Beis, in Shulchan Aruch, all of this is quoted, but we know what we do. What we do is we wear the shoes to the Beis HaKvaros because the person's not an Avel yet. At Stimas HaGolel, they take off their shoes and then they put on sneakers. And we're not worried about Bizyonos and Rishas HaGoyim and this and that, because you're wearing sneakers, you look perfectly fine. There's nothing, you know, we don't have that those concerns. So I just want to get into a little bit what we consider to be shoes in the context of Yom HaKippurim, because a lot of those same halachos we assume apply over here as well. Then we'll take questions. Mishmur and Tavkuf Nun Dalit Sifkat Lamed Aleph. And Aruch Chaim says that if you had beged and mechupa ba'or milamayla, or it's like canvas sneakers, but it has some leather on the top, or the soles are leather, then it's usher. So if there's support provided for your foot by leather on the top or on the bottom, it's usher. So this is really subject of major machlokas rishonim. There are basically three groups of rishonim when it comes to determining what a shoe is when it comes to ni'ilas hasandal. And it's discussed in the Beis Yosef, in Aruch Chaim as well, in Tavkuf Yod Dalet. And Beis Yosef over there quotes three basic shitos. He quotes the Baal Ma'or, that any footwear that gives you protection from the elements is included in the Yisra of Ni'ilas HaSandal, regardless of what material it's made of. Rashi, second shita, is more makel than the Baal Ma'or, says shoes made of either leather or wood are included in the Isser of Ni'ilas HaSandal and Yom Kippur. And the Rif is the most makel, says only leather shoes. Anything that's not leather is automatically mutter. The Rambam Shita in Hilchos Yom Kippur Mishvisas Asar Perek Gimel Halach HaZayin is not super clear, but the Rif and the Rush both agree that it's only leather, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskens that way, even though it's not so clear from the Rambam. So the Mishabur in Tavkuf Yadal in Sifkat Ne quotes in El Yerava, who is machmir for Rashi, and the Chassam Sofer is machmir for the Baal Ma'or. So while the Shulchan Aruch assumes that anything that's not leather is perfectly fine, you do have, you know, a smattering of significant poskim that are more machmir than that. And even for the Chassam Sofer is machmir for the Baal Ma'or, that anything that provides protection for your feet. So Chassam Sofer says a person can't wear any shoes that prevent him from feeling the ground under his feet. So Mishavur says that, you know, certainly in limchos biad, someone who wants to follow the Shulchan Aruch, but it's a good thing to be machmir to just wear a soft cloth slipper on Yom Kippur. Now, most shoes nowadays are made with a combination of materials. So very often a person will have shoes that contain some leather but aren't primarily made from leather. So the Mat Ephraim in Tavkuf Yud Dalit Osbeis says that even a leather sole would make it usser, just like we say over here by Avelus. And the Maram Shik says that even leather stitching to hold the shoe together would make it no good. The Maram Shik in the Tshuva in Shin Tes Zayin. The Kaf HaChaim, however, does say that leather shoelaces are not a problem. So based on all these shittos, it seems, strictly speaking, a person could wear sneakers or shoes that are made from synthetic leather or non-leather. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's a good idea to be machmir on these things. Right? Rav Shachter spends all day in Yom Kippur in his socks. Right? He doesn't wear sneakers, if I'm not mistaken. Right? Because it's a good idea to be machmir on these things. However, Rav Moshe Sturmbach in Moed Muzman in Chelik Vav Simon Chaf Ches says that the reason the Shulchan Aruch is makel with non-leather shoes is that it's so abnormal to wear those shoes during the rest of the year that it's like a, you know, it's clear that you're doing this as an inoy of Yom Kippur, and therefore he says even those who are most makel wouldn't allow you to wear shoes that you would normally wear throughout the year regardless of what material they're made of. If they're normal looking shoes and you would normally wear such shoes, it would be aser, according to Rav Sturmbach. So if a person normally wears canvas sneakers every day, according to Rav Sturmbach, you're not allowed to wear those in Yom Kippur. The overwhelming majority of Klal Yisrael is not that way. Meaning, if it's something that, let's say, a person wears as slippers around the house, let's say Crocs. Most people don't wear Crocs typically every single day. You know, I remember every year on Erev Tisha B'Av, there was, when Rav Eliyashiv was alive, there was like a thing that started going around and all the, you know, you'd get texts and emails and whatever. Rav Yashiv holds, you're not allowed to wear Crocs on Yom Kippur. It wasn't a Chiddush. Rav Yashiv was machmir for the Shita of the Chassam Sofer. That anything that you know, it's not like Rav Yashiv invented this Shita. But, you know, Minhag Yisrael seems not that way. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Yom Kippur says that Achaya, again, the same halachos, meaning the first 30 days after giving birth, is allowed to wear shoes in Yom Kippur. Achola, allowed to wear shoes in Yom Kippur. The question is whether that still applies nowadays, meaning there are so many non-leather shoes that give you equal or superior protection to what leather shoes will give you. So Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Nishmas Avraham that women who had recently given birth and sick people shouldn't wear leather shoes nowadays. But certainly they don't have to be machmir for the Chassam Sofer, because the whole reason that they, you know, that they should not wear leather shoes is because they can just wear shoes that provide, you know, provide the same protection. In terms of the definition of what a chaya is, the Ar Sameach says, well, when the Gemara exempts a woman after childbirth from the issur of wearing shoes, it means a midwife who needs good shoes to run to the birth. Most poskim assume not that way, right? We assume what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that it's a woman who gave birth within 30 days. But like you hear it a little more with the midwife, right? She needs her running shoes. She's got to get there to the, you know, to get there to help them have a baby. So that's the basic definition of shoes. And Yalkut Yosef, he quotes from a sefer Moed L'Kol Chai, that it's asur for an avol to go barefoot, entirely barefoot, because arura ha'adama bavurech. So someone who is who's going barefoot is connecting to a sense of tumah, and this is al pi kabbalah. And Yalkut Yosef says, yeah, but that's dafkin chutz laretz, because sitra achra shlita in chutz laretz, but Eretz Yisrael where the offer is kodesh. So adrabba, it's better to go with the bare feet directly on the kedusha of the land of Israel. Again, don't really, you know, we could say the words, but what exactly all this means? But okay, but that's the minute that you don't go barefoot entirely. At least wear socks. I don't know, most people's bubbies or elder bubbies would tell them if they saw them walking around the house wearing socks. You can't do that. Only an avil wears socks. You don't walk around wearing socks. You got to wear something on your feet, because that was always a symbol of avelus. An avil could say the bracha shasli kol tzarchi in the morning, even though he's walking around without shoes. Unlike what we say in Shulchan Aruch about Tisha B'av and Yom Kippur, that the Shita of the Rambam does not say the bracha of Ephraim Zal Margolius, says by avelus is different. That you're allowed to say shasli kol tzarchi by avelus. Questions and comments. L'chora, there's nothing wrong with it, right? Unless you want to argue that you have to make a show of beginning the Huge Avelos, especially, meaning if the Kvur is going to be late in the day, and you have to do some Nihug in order to have a Mitzvah Kekula, meaning in order to get the Avelos, let's say it's going to be late in the day on Erev Yontif. So if Yontif comes, and you've already started being Noeg Avelos, then there won't be a Shiva. But if Yontif comes and you haven't yet started being Noeg Avelos, then you're going to have to do Shiva after Yontif. Right, so in such cases, maybe you want to play it safe and make sure that you have some new gavelus that you're able to do right away. And the quickest new gavelus is probably just to change your shoes. But yeah, I don't know if there's any problem with it. I mean, the minhag is always to bring along, but I don't know why. I don't know why that has to be. Yeah.
What's the svara of Schoenbach? Is it dinim of leather shoes, or is it separate din that you can't wear what you're wearing usually?
It's similar to the Chassam Sofer, meaning he's saying that that when the Chassam Sofer says that you shouldn't have anything that provides protection, he says we're not going to go that far. You can wear things that provide protection, but the Isser of Nilas Asandal has to be an Isser. It has to be something that there's that it's not your normal footwear, meaning you have to show. So it has to be some sort of demonstration of Avelus or Inui in the Yom Kippur context.
Let's say that the shoe itself has leather elements, but it's not the stitching. It's some decorative part of the shoe.
The Nike swoosh that's leather doesn't really make a difference, I would think. It's not providing any support or anything like that, other than support for Nike and doing advertising for that. Tashmish Amita. The Gemara and Daf Tesvav and Beis tells us an avil is not allowed to have Tashmish Amita. So the question is how inclusive that is, meaning, and what else, right? Meaning, what else is an avel not allowed to do? So the Torah quotes from Neville Rabasi, not only is an avel not allowed to have tashamita, an avel is meshamish mitasot chayv misa. The truth is, Gemara and Chavdalid suggests that an avel is meshamish mitasot chayv misa, but then the Gemara says, no, isuri ika, but there's no chayv misa. The Gemara walks it back a little bit. So Beis Yosef quotes from Rabbi Yeruchim that not only Tashra Shamita, Shum Kurva, other than Mezigas Akos, Hatzas Amita, and Rachatz Panav Yadav Raglav. Right, because that's the Gemara at the beginning of Ksubas. The Gemara says, Kam Lachshish Osel Baila Nida Osel Baila. And why does it come up in Ksubas Dav Dalid? Because it's comparing to an Avel. Right, it's comparing those Dinim to an Avel. So in those particular Archakos that are mentioned in the Gemara says an Avel is allowed to do. But other than that, all other Archakos, says the Beis Yosef, named Rabbi Yeruchim, you shouldn't do. He also quotes Agos Ashri, that as far as achila ima, to eat in the normal way without a hecker and from the same plate and things like that, he has no raya lo li isur v'lo laheter. So Dr. Moshe writes that lo shafkinan, whatever is pashut l'kala poskim, meaning all the poskim assume that it's mutter to eat b'ka'ara achas, so I'm not going to abandon that which the poskim assume automatically that it's mutter to eat bakara achas because of the suffix of that goes ashri, and therefore it's mutter to eat bakara achas. The Rush quotes a Ravid who's makel on all other archakos, except he says don't sleep in the same bed. Hu bigdo vihi bigda. The Ri is makel even on that, but Agos Ashri says bakuli am lo pligi. You can't sleep bikir of basar. Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Gimel Sif Aleph, right, spells it out for us how we paskin. Shin Pei Gimel Sif Aleph, Aval Asu B'Tashm Shamita, Aval Bishar Dvar Kurva Mutter, Afilu B'Mzik Sakos, Vatsa Samita, Vachatzman V'Raglav, Bein Ba'Avelus Didei, Bein Ba'Avelus Dida. And then the Ramah adds from Rabbi Yeruchim, Aval Chibuk V'Nishuk Yesh Lahachmir. But you're allowed to eat in the same plate, you're allowed to sleep, Hu B'Gdo V'Bugda. But miu mishum lechlech nazira yishlach mishlishim mita im mita klal. But it's a really bad idea to sleep in the same bed. So even though Mikra did, it's mutter to sleep in the same bed. It's a really bad idea to do so. So ultimately, what we really don't do is definitely no tashra mita. That's aser. Sleeping in the same bed is technically mutter, strongly discouraged. And the Rama says chibuk v'nishuk is problematic as well. In fact, Rabbi Kiveger writes that he saw from Rav Zalman Mivilna that it's mefurish in the Targum on Koheles that you're not supposed to chibuk v'nishuk, right? Because what it say, eslach bok v'eslachok michabek, that there's a time to hug and there's a time to distance oneself from hugging. So the Targum says, idun bechir legafafa itza v'idun bechir lerachka migafafa b'shivis yimei avela. Right, that the Targum says during the Shivat Yimei Avela. That's the time that we don't do hugging. So hugging and kissing, problematic. Sleeping in the same bed, problematic. Tashra Shamita, absolutely asur. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Aleph, if someone's relative died, a woman's relative died somewhere else, and she doesn't know about it, she's not in the same city, and the husband does know about it, that he's mutar lavo aleha. Don't tell her, could I have tashmish, and then tell her afterwards. I don't know if that's a great Shalom Bayis trick, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. He compares it to what the Shulchan Aruch passes in Siman Taf Beis, Sif Yud Beis, that if someone's Meis L'Meis and they don't know, you have no chiyuv to tell them, even by Av V'Imo, and you can invite them to a wedding. Right? That comes out, we get shailas like that sometimes, where you have someone whose relative is mamish holding by the end, and their kid is about to get married. So, like, the relative that's holding by the end is somewhere else, so maybe just, like, don't talk to them for a day or two, and let them have the wedding, and then, you know, be able to, if that's something that you could do. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that you're allowed to do in terms of going to a wedding. So Mele Hu Adin, the Aruch HaShulchan says when it comes to Tashmish Hamita, because the person has no dinim of avelus because they don't know about it. Yalkut Yosef passings like this Aruch HaShulchan. If you look in Yabia Omer Chelik Beis, Evin Ezer Simon Beis Oz Dalit also quotes this Aruch HaShulchan. The Pnei Baruch just quotes from Zal Margolios that we absolutely should not do this if it's in the same city. It's just too risky. It's not a good idea to do it in the same city, because probably they're not just too risky, they might be needed in terms of dealing with the Tzarchei Ameis. So it's a very bad idea. Okay, now let's get to Divrei Torah. This is a whole sugya. The Gemara, the Braisa, Daf Chaf Aleph, says a novel Zasur B'Divrei Torah. The chakira that everyone says is, what does that mean? Does it mean that a novel is pater from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Or that no, a novel is still chayv in Talmud Torah, but he's just asur to learn most types of Torah. But whatever types of Torah he's allowed to learn, he has a chiv Talmud Torah like anybody else. So in Yalkut Yosef and Simon Yud Gimel Oz Beis, he says in the name of Rav Avadia, he's not pater from Talmud Torah. He's just not allowed to learn Dvar Mamsamchim. But he's chayv in Talmud Torah every spare moment. In Pnei Baruch, Siman Tes Zayin, footnote Hey, he quotes from a Shevet Yehuda that if he doesn't want to learn even Dvar Maraim, he could just choose not to learn because he's Pater Mitalmud Torah Legamri. The Gemara derives this din that a novel is Asur Mitalmud Torah from Hanek Dom, which means that the novel should be silenced. Silence sounds like he doesn't have to learn at all. So the Torah quotes a Shita. That in Shin Pei Dalet, the Torah quotes a Shita that the Isra Talmud Torah is only for Yom Rishon, just like Tefillin. And the Torah writes, Lo Nihira, it's not true, and really it's for all of Shiva. The Ramban says because that the reason for the Isra of Talmud Torah is because the Torah is Mesam Chilev. The Gemara doesn't really quote the Pasuk of Pekudei Hashem Mishar Mesam Chilev by an Avel. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk of Pekudei Hashem Mishar Mesam Chilev by, we made this point, by Tisha B'Av. By an Avil, the Gemara says Hanikdom, that it's by Yecheskel, that the idea of silence. So the Ramban quotes the Pasuk Masam Chilev to teach me that the Yisra of Divrei Torah applies for Kol Shiva, because Simcha Zasura Kol Shiva. Whoa, so what do you have over here? You have a Gemara that says that the reason Avil is also B'Talmud Torah is Hanikdom. You have a Shita and Rishonim, yeah, but that only applies for one day. Absolute silence is only for a day. And then the Ramban says, yeah, but don't forget that the Vritar is also Masam Chilev. And because it's Masam Chilev, it's going to be Aser Kol Shiva, because Kol Mine Simcha are Aser Kol Shiva. There's a Me'iri in my Katan, after Zayin Beis, quotes a Yesh Omrim for an Avel to learn even Dvar Mara'im, because the din of an Avel is the din in Shtika, as opposed to by Tisha B'Av, it's the din in Tsar. Meaning the Heter of Dvar Mara'im, the Me'iri says, is Dafka by Tisha B'Av, because by Tisha B'Av there's no din in Shtika, there's a din in Tsar, and it's Masam Chelev is the problem. So you're allowed to learn Dvar Maroim. But when it comes to an Avel, it's a din in Hanekdom, it's a din in silence. So the Me'iri's Machria, that we're knowing that Miyom Rishon Ve'elach, it's Kari B'Dvar Maroim. So what's he saying? That in Yom Rishon, you have the din of Hanekdom. In Yom Rishon, you have the din of remaining silent. So you're Shosik Lagamri Midivre Torah, even Dvar Maroim. But Yom Rishon Ve'elach, it's not Mishum Shtika, it's like the Ramban says, it's because it's because Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev, it's a din in Simcha. So then you're allowed to learn Dvarim Arayim. That's probably what the Me'iri means, that there's really Tzvei Dinim over here. However, the Ramban himself quotes two deos, whether an Avil is allowed to learn Dvarim Arayim, and he's not Machriya like the Me'iri, that on day one, no, and days two through seven, yes. So it sounds like he holds it's all or nothing. Either you're allowed to learn Dvarim Arayim throughout all Shiva, or you're not allowed to learn Dvarim Arayim at all. The Shita that holds you're allowed to learn Dvarim Arayim throughout all Shiva holds that the Hagdara of the Isra is Mishum Tsar, similar to Tisha B'Av, and therefore you're not supposed to learn Dvarim Mesamchim. The Shita that asers Dvarim Arayim throughout Shiva is a little bit difficult, because the whole basis would be Hanekdom, which sounds like really should only be an Isra for one day. So what we have to say is that lo plug rabbanon, that once they asked for Yom Rishon, afilu b'dvar marayim, mishum shtika, they didn't want to change the hagdara of the Isser and to be matir dvar marayim the rest of the days. The Shach, interestingly, in Sifkat Nalef over here in Shin Pei Dalin, quotes Pekudei Hashem Yisharim. He doesn't even quote Hanekdom, which is the Gemara's pasuk. It's a Pella, right? Meaning the Gemara has a pasuk. And Yisharim start quoting a different pasuk, and the Achronim on the side of the Shulchan quote this different pasuk. So that's fascinating. But it seems that you have those Tzvei Dinim, the din of just being silenced, and the second din of avoiding things that are Simcha. Now, Beis Yosef quotes Yerushalmi that there may be an exception. If a person is lahut achara Torah, then it's mutter. If a person is obsessed with Torah, they're running, chasing after Torah constantly, then it could be that it's mutter. So Beis Yosef writes, you know, it's so interesting that the Yerushalmi says this and none of the posts can bring it. Right? None of the posts can bring this idea that someone who's lahut achara Torah is mutter. So the Aruch HaShulchan, Siv Gimel, says, I'll tell you why. You know what lahut achara Torah means? It means that, you know, if a person doesn't eat for a day, he gets hungry and he's like starving. It means that someone who has that same experience when it comes to Talmud Torah. So, you know, it's not so common, you know, that you'll find people that have quite that same experience when it comes to Talmud Torah. Right? Rav Lichtenstein's family said that, you know, the famous story that after Tisha B'Av, they would find him, you know, when everyone was sitting around the table eating, they'd find him sitting in his study with the Bava Metzia. And he was just said, look, there are two things you're not allowed to do on Tisha B'Av, Talmud Torah and food, and I just missed this one more. So, you know, so you're sitting there with the Bava Metzia after, but most people are not Lohud Achar Torah. Meaning, it's like a Chzu Bulmus, you know, that you're Lohud Achar Torah, it's like a Sakana for the person almost. My father-in-law once told me that he was under the impression that Rav Soloveitchik would learn Torah while he was sitting Shiva, because he felt that it was a tsar for him not to learn. That the din is that you're not supposed to have the simcha, but you're not supposed to be mitzar yourself in avelus. The truth is that svara, in a different context, is mefurish in Tosfos and Maseches Brachos, that rechitza b'derech tanu gezaser. But if you have chatatim al rosh or something like al basaro, you have something where like you're mamish in pain and there's going to be a tzar or an istanis or something like that, so you're allowed to be roches because there's no din that you have to be mitzayer yourself. That svara makes some sense. I asked Rav Shachter whether that's true, that Rav Soloveitchik learned while he was an avel. And he said, no. He said, it's not his impression. He says he never heard of such a thing. And he says it wouldn't have made any sense. Rav Soloveitchik got so many people coming to be Menachem Avilim all day and all night. Like, when would he possibly have had time to be learning, you know, things other than, you know, grabbing the Dvar Maroyim here and there? And he said, Rav Soloveitchik held in the name of Rav Chaim that an Avil is allowed to learn Hilchos Avelus Bi'iyun during Avelus. But clearly, the fact that he, Rav Shach pointed out, the fact that Rav Soloveitchik made a big deal about saying that he held like Rav Chaim that you're allowed to learn Dvar Maroyim Bi'iyun, he held that he's not allowed to learn anything else. I later found in Yabia Omer, in Chelek Beis, Yardei Asimul Chavav, who's Mekel, Betziruf the Yerushalmi, and the Shita that it's only on Yom Rishon. Even though we don't paskin like that Shita, that the Isra Talmud Torah is only on Yom Rishon, and we don't paskin like the Yerushalmi, because none of the poskim quote the Yerushalmi of Lahu Tachar Torah, but Ravadia says, Chazi Litzterufe. You could take these two snifim and put them together for a shakta nifla to learn beseser, because halacha kemekel ba'avel. So you're allowed to follow even a shita duchuyas. Rabbi Reisman taught us in the name of the Menachas Yitzchak, you only take snifim lahakel when you have a core reason to be mekel. Yeah, but maybe not in Hilchos Avelus. In Hilchos Avelus, where halacha divrei mekel ba'avel, and you have two different divrei hamekilim over here. So maybe you could say even Negin Maran and B'makom Mitzvah Rabbah Talmud Torah that Shaper Dami Lahakel. And Rav Vadya writes that there was a particular Gon Echad that had a Cheshek Nifla to learn Torah, and when he became an Avel, he continued to learn Torah B'Seser because he just couldn't be Sovel the Tsar of the Bittul Torah. So that's what Rav Vadya writes of a Gon Echad that he does not identify. In Yalkut Yosef, he says that Rav Vadya, when he was an Avil for his father, gave his Shir Kavua Motzai Shabbos, but that was for another reason, because that's the Gemara says, Rabban Tzrichim Lo's Mutter. But sometimes you get the impression that when Rav Vadya says, Go Nechad, you know, he's probably describing himself. Rav Shechter once said that. But sometimes I get the impression when I hear Talmidei Chachamim not quote Gemaras exactly where they are and everything, I get the impression that they just don't want people to think too highly of them. So they'll say the Gemara says here, you know, the Gemara says without saying exactly where, instead of just quoting chapter and verse every time, because they just don't want, you know, they just don't want to show off. Sometimes he gets the impression when he hears others say that the Talmud says. Yeah, because all the other people that say the Talmud says. So the sometimes our rebbeim talk about themselves without talking about themselves. Yeah.
When learning like Moshe Kekeiros, how far is one allowed to go with it? Like if you're learning a commentary, it's obviously going to quote the Gemara.
Yeah, it's difficult to know exactly the line. We'll get into it hopefully in a minute or two, but it's difficult to know exactly where that line is. The Gemara in Daf Chaval, let's get into Rabban Tzrichim Lo first. The Gemara says Rabban Tzrichim Lo is mutter. At least al yidei shinui ktsas, meaning you say the shir to someone else, and someone else will say it to the maturgaman. Whereas normally the magid shir would say it directly to the maturgaman. Okay, I came across once. I don't know what to do with this. There's a sefer Divrei Yehonasan ala Torah, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz. He quotes a Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu began sefer Devarim 3 days after Misas Aaron, so he was still suing shiva for Aaron. And the Gemara says, how could he do that? Novel is Asr B'Talmud Torah. And the Gemara answers, Rabban Tzrichim Lo Mutter. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz says, and it's Muduyik in the Pesukim that way, because it says at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Kol Yisrael. Why was he allowed to do this? Because it was Rabban Tzrichim Lo. It was Kol Yisrael. That was the Rabbim. And it was Rabban Tzrichim Lo. The problem with that is everything. First of all, there's no Gemara that's, I don't know, unless you find it. I don't think there's a Gemara that actually has that Shakla Vitaria. So that's problem number one. Second, I have in my notes, I spoke about this with, these notes are from many years ago, when I lived in Queens. We had a whole bunch of chavre lived on the same block. So Corey Tarzik, who's a good friend of mine, Arayom Hazeh, lived on the same block, and he said, if you look in the Pesukim, it's against the Pesukim. Pesukim at the beginning of Dvarim, it said Moshe began Sefer Dvarim Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh Achad Asar, and in Parshas Masei, in the second Aliyah, Aaron died in Rosh Chodesh L'Chodesh HaChamishi, so way more than 3 days before Moshe began Sefer Dvarim. If it would have said B'nai Yisrael, it would have been enough to qualify as Ram Tzrichim Lo. You don't need to say Kol Yisrael, Ram Tzrichim Lo. You don't need everybody to be Tzrichim Lo. You just need Rabbim to be Tzrichim Lo. So the whole Diuk that Adavka says, Kol Yisrael. In fact, in Shuvas Ha'elef Chashlomo, he says that even if one or two people are Tzrichim Lo, it's considered to be Rabbim Tzrichim Lo. Furthermore, Moshe Rabbeinu might have had a different heter, that it was Nafsho Lahut B'Torah. Okay, that's not such a gotcha, because Nafsho Lahut B'Torah is a heter to learn. It's not necessarily a heter to teach. Anyway, the Gemara says, when Ram Tzrichim Lo, you do it with a Shinoi, right? By talking to someone else, and he's Mashmiel, and he'll talk to the Metorgaman, who's Mashmiel the Rabbin. So what do we do B'Zman Hazeh? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes we obviously don't have that din anymore, but there should be some form of shinui in the way one teaches. The right meaning, maybe if you normally stand, you sit, I don't know, some sort of shinui in the way one teaches. Maybe if it's more of an interactive classroom, make it more of a lecture type of something. The Rama in Shin Pei Dalet Sifal says that it could be Dorish Ba'atzmo, and he could paskin Isser Veheter for Yachid HaShoel Oso if there's no one else to paskin the Shailas. But he's not allowed to say halacha l'talmidav, and v'cheinog, and even though there are those that are meikil, meaning if your talmidim can, they'll ask a shayla someone else for a week. It's not going to be the end of the world. So then they should not be pasking shaylas either. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sivav that a melamed tinokos, where there's not going to be an adequate substitute, it's pashut that chalila levatel tinokos shel beis rabban, and you should continue to learn with them even on yom rishon. And he says that in a Rav, Hayoshev al Kisei Hora'a is mutter to respond to all Shilos of Issa v'Heter, and he's Mechuyev l'Hashiv, but Sidra Get, in Divrei Torah, so it seems that in lo lasuk b'zeh, unless there's some sort of hechrich, that if he doesn't do it, it's going to lead to some sort of kilkul. And Hakolafi Ra'os Eino, when it comes to these things. The Aruch HaShulchan then writes that even the Ramah is moda, that if you're Rosh Shiva, and if you're not going to be Magid Shir, then many people are going to be, it's going to be Mbatal, a lot of Talmidim from Talmud Torah, that there's no Tzarchi Rabbim greater than that. And who just told me? Someone told me that Rosh Yeshiva are always loath to take off time during the Zman, because they're afraid that the Talmidim aren't going to learn when they're away, you know, making fundraising trips, and they're even more afraid that the Talmidim are going to learn when they're away, because I'm like, what are they there for? What are they even needed for? So you have to know if the person is needed or not. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, but if they're not going to learn without you, so then Ein Rabban Shrichim Lo Yosu Mizeh, and novel that has banim ketanim shouldn't be mevatel them from their limud either. So when the rabbis Willig were sitting shiva for their sister, Rav Mordechai Willig turned to Rav David Willig and said, "You're allowed to say shir tomorrow during the shiva because you're teaching in a high school, and the boys will almost certainly not learn as well, or not learn if you're not there." But then Rav Mordechai Willig said, "But we don't do that." Even though you're allowed to, Mekra Din, you're definitely allowed to, but we don't do that. The Shach quotes from the Bedek Habayis that we could be Mekel and Amlami Tinokos because it's Rabban Tzrichim Lo, and it's a Davara Aved. And he says it's Melechas HaAvedu. Why do we call that a Davara Aved? Why is that a Melechas HaAved? So this is based on what Tosus writes in the second paragraph of Basra. It's a fascinating sugya in Bab Basra Daf Chaf Aleph, that there's a question, if you could hire two different Melamde Tinokos, one of them who covers ground fast, right, and gets through everything, but every once in a while he'll make a mistake. You know, either the Rebbe will make a mistake, or he won't see to it that the Talmidim won't pick up some sort of mistake. He's not going to check for understanding all the time. And you have another Malami Tinokos who's slow and methodical and makes sure that every Talmud understands, and they will not move on until every last Talmud understands. So which one is better? So the Gemara has a machlokas about that, and the Gemara says that it's possible that the one that's, that covers a lot of ground is better. What about the mistakes? Shabeshtim emeil enafek. Over time, those mistakes will fall away. Over time, the person, the Talmud themselves, will continue to grow in learning, and they'll see that it doesn't say in Chumash tirtzach, it says lo tirtzach. So the mistakes will fall away over time. So you don't have to worry about it. So Tosav, they're right. Even if you hold Shabeshtim emeil enafek, we still call a mikridardiki pseida delo hadar. It's still a loss that's an irretrievable loss. Why is it an irretrievable loss if it's something that the mistake is going to fall away? So Tosus writes in the name of the Re, because that moment that you were teaching them the Ta'us, it was Bittul Torah, and they'll never get that moment back in their lives. So over here also, it's a davar aved, just because it's time. Time is a davar aved. If there's going to be the meaning, it may not cripple their long-term growth or whatever if Rebbe takes a week off to sit Shiva, but it's a davar aved on all that time. In Gilyan Marshall, he writes, even if there's another Rebbe, but it's a substitute Rebbe, and they're not going to learn as well with a substitute, even that's called the Rabban Tzvi Chumlo, and the Rebbe's allowed to teach. The Tazov in Sifkar Nal says, even from Lami Tinokos, it's only after the first 3 days. It's only after the first 3 days. And he leaves out the Bedek Abayis, who is Mekil, even within the first 3 days. Okay, so now, as far as Limud Dvarim Ara'im, learning sad things and other things that are mutter to learn, the Torah quotes Yeshom that even though on Tisha B'Av you're allowed to read Eov and Eicha and Dvarim Arayim Shabi Yirmiya, by an Avil it's Aser, because it's more Chamer than Tisha B'Av in every other area, and it's more Chamer than Tisha B'Av in this area as well. That's what the Torah quotes Yeshom. The Rosh in Siman Lamed Zayin says that it's mutter to learn Eov and the Dvarim Arayim in Yirmiya, and if there are certain Psukim of Nechama you should skip them. And also he says evil that befalls of the Kchavim you're not allowed to learn. Mishra Berurah writes that in Tavkof Nidal Zbukhan Beis. So and you're also allowed to learn Mesach Samoyed Katan, Chzavelus, and this Paskin in Shulchan Aruch Shem Pei Dalet Siv Dalet, right? Shem Pei Dalet Siv Dalet. Shulchan Aruch says Avol Motu Likros Be Eov Bekinos Rav Rabbi Shubi Yirmiya Ubehil Chzavelus, but Hani Mili Ben Olven Atzmo. Aval eno lomid imacherim elohim yoshim v'nosim v'nosim b'ilchus avelus imto m'shivim b'safar rafa v'ueno shoel. You're not allowed to be dorish barabim, these kinds of things. You're not allowed to be lomid imacherim. You could overhear someone learning and correct them if they make a mistake. This applies to Tisha B'Av also. There's some yeshurim on Tisha B'Av, but it's probably not appropriate. Shechter was not happy with me when I told him that I pretty much speak for like 3 hours straight on Tisha B'Av night. He's saying, I'll let him do that. So I say, I don't give a shir. What I do is I learn the Chorban Agaritas out loud. And, if I make a mistake, someone could correct me, but I'm not standing up, I'm not giving a shir. I don't even look to see how many people are there. Sometimes it's, once or twice it's happened that by the time I was finished, I looked around, I was the only one in the room, I could have been doing it more quietly. So it's not, so if you don't really, if you're just learning, so the Dvar Maroyim, so that's probably not.
Does Rabbi Willig know how to give shir all day after?
Rabbi Willig? Does he? He reads Gedolim biographies on Tisha B'Av, no? Morish HaKol people? Any Morish HaKol people?
He just goes to Kinnis and says a lot of history.
Yeah, okay. Now that's what Salvezik did. He went through the Kinnis, so we all know. But that's, being ma'ayin into the Chorban. That's not sheer. That everyone does. But to learn the Dvar Marayim, the Chorban Agaritas, and the Eov Agaritas, and things like that. Or Chashulchan writes, Afalgav devade metikus haTorah yesh gam be'advar maroim shebetorah mikol makom hatzar me'advar maroim mafik simchas haTorah v'lchei mutu lomdav. He says, when you learn Dvar Maroim, it's also geshmak, right? There were some sugyas here in Hilchos Avelus that are like super geshmak to learn. Yeah, but then you think for a moment about what the person's going through when they, you know, when it, at least it takes a little bit of the simpler way. Pischei Tshuva quotes a Chacham Tzvi in Simul Kuf that the reason that it's also for Nava to learn Torah is because it's Efshar lo lilmo dvar marayim, which are not mesameichim like other divrei Torah. So the Chacham Tzvi says, and therefore, on a yantif, where you, it's not really appropriate to be learning such things, memela you could learn sharin yanim as well. Now the hanacha of the Chacham Tzvi is that there's a chiyuv of Talmud Torah for an avel, like the Shar Yemos Hashana, but in order that it shouldn't be Masiach his das from the Avelus too much, we're metzamtzim that chiyuv of Talmud Torah to only Dvar Marayim, right? Meaning that was that chakira. Is it that there's no chiyuv of Talmud Torah b'chlal, or there's chiyuv of Talmud Torah, but it had to be modified? Well, it has to be modified not to be Masiach his das from the Avelus or to give him any sense of simcha. Now, the makar of the Yisra, as we pointed out, is Hanagdom, which sounds like not that way. It sounds like all Talmud Torah is Aser. And if that's the case, then even Dvar Marayim is going to be Aser. But even just the idea that it's not ra'ui to learn Dvar Marayim on Yantif, is that really true? That it's inappropriate to learn Dvar Marayim on Yantif? Meaning in general, let's say you're learning Hilchos Avelos, and Shavuos comes in the middle of the Zman that you're learning Hilchos Avelos. So you want to, you know, you want to get ahead, or you want to make sure that you keep it because it's fast paced, because we only have whatever 15 shiurim on Avelos, and then, you know, so you want to spend the whole night just going through the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Avelos. Is that Aser? That's the Hanacha that Chacham Tzvi seems to have. In the Sefer Nisum Kilchasan Chelik Beis, page Tavkof Lamedal, he quotes from Avil Yashiv that a chasen that becomes an avil during Shavu Brachos, Shavu Simei Mishta, could learn anything based on that Chacham Tzvi. Meaning, it's inappropriate for him to learn Dvar Marayim because it's his Yom Tov. And Mela, you can't be Mitzamtzim, but he still has the Chiv of Talmud Torah, the way the Chacham Tzvi understands. So you can't be Mitzamtzim, it's a Dvar Marayim, which is interesting. There's a question in general whether people should be learning Avelos, right? Meaning, okay, so in the Smicha program where people are going to be rabbis and you have to know how to paskin for people, and like it shouldn't all be new to you. Obviously you'll have to look things up, but like it shouldn't all be like the first time you ever heard it when someone asks you a shayla. Okay, so it makes sense. But in general, stam, a person wants to learn. Like in Smichat Chaver, they want to have a Zman, and Rav Eliyadah was going to have a Zman of Hilchos Avelos. So is that appropriate? Should you be learning Hilchos Avelos when you're not an Avel? So in Nefesh HaRav, on page Chav Tes, he quotes that Rav Mendel Zaks was makbid, based on Tshuvah Chassam Sofer, not to learn Hilchos Avelos. However, he pointed out that Rav Salvechik said shir for years in Hilchos Avelos. In Halicha Shlomo, in Hilchos Bein HaMetzarim, Perek Tes Vav, footnote 35, it says that Rav Shlomo Zalman held like Rav Salvechik, and Adraba, he gave shirim to Balabati for many years in Hilchos Avelos, because he says it's sad that people need to know these halachos, and no one knows what the things that they need to know. In Chida, he says that one of the Gedolim was learning Hilchos Avelos during his Shiva, and he ended up writing a whole sefer in Hilchos Avelos. And it's okay that you learn Avelos bein levein atzmo. So what were we saying? So we wanted to talk a little bit about being ma'ayin in the Dvar Marayim. So what exactly is Iyun? How much Iyun are you allowed to do in these things? So in Yabia Omer, in Chelik Beis, Yardeh Simul Chavav, Rav Avadya suggests the following Lamdisha Chilik. He said, in terms of defining Iyun, he says that there are two types of Iyun. One is your Ma'ayin Lahavin Perush HaDvarim Shenem Mechavarim Lav, that there are things that you feel like you just don't have pshat, so you're trying to be Ma'ayin to understand it well, to understand just what the words mean. He says that's mutter for Tishbav and for an Avel. So the second is your ma'ayin liyashiv kushios of farshim and yoshiv bekavana lechadish chidushim, and looking around in a lot of svarim and things like that, meaning that there are kashas and kivegu b'zitzarachim. You try to be miyashiv it. You try to be mechadish things. You're trying to think of new ideas of how to present the sugya. So he says that's awesome. And if you learn in the first way, but it's also biyado, he's a chiddush. So he says you can write it down then, because then it's a davar avid. Meaning it's very hard to parse it out. That okay, I'm only going to learn to understand, but I'm shutting off my chiddush gene. You know, like what do you mean? So I was trying to understand. You may be mechadish something when you're trying to understand something. So he says, okay, if that happens, that should be your goal. But if that happens, you can write it down. So I asked Rav Shechter what he thought about this. And he said, no such chiluk. Rav Soloveitchik held all types of iyun or mutter. You're allowed to be ma'ayin and dvar marayim when you're learning during avelus. It also seems that the Chassam Sofer held that way, that even lasukish shemait sali b'dihil chasa, and to be ma'ayin b'yamei avlo is mutter. Because the Chassam Sofer was among those, like we just mentioned, Rav Zaks was machbid for this Chassam Sofer not to learn ilchas avelus when he wasn't an avel. Aye, but what about when he was in Avel? So there's a tshuva in Yoredeya, in Chassam Sofer Yoredeya, Simen Shin Mem Vav. I'll read you the Lashon. Shalom v'simchas yom tov v'kol tov li'yedid nafshi mori v'chami hagon mofes hadar kadosh Yisrael nezer tifarteinu whatever, k'sar Torah morein rar v'kiva eger nero yir. Yikras kedushaso higiani u'mikroi bo beis kushios bilchus machos. He says, I got your letter, and I read that there were two kashas in Hilchos Machos. Nir tarti la'achorai. He said, I fell backwards. Ki gavra kapitona ana. I'm very makbid. Va'amarti hever charpasi asher yorgorti ki mishpatecha tovim. Meaning that, how could you be asking me in Hilchos Avelus? I'm not an Avel. This is what he writes. Vamnam shkaga yatsa milifnei ashalat hagadol kadosh mori chami hagon neri yir. V'nasesi avel im kodesi chosi ubayi laishmua me'imi atzadekes etzal. He said, you killed my mother, essentially. Meaning, as soon as I started thinking about your shailas, I got the word that my mother died. Tenish masasur b'tzorachayim. Hareni kaparas mishkava. Ubizkolol ba'afar karni shavua avar. So while I was sitting shiva last week, iyanti b'divrei kodshom, so I was looking at your shailas, Utmol kamti nesarati ayom lahashivu tzarifel of kol mashi iyanti biyamim elu. So here's my tshuva of the whole iyun that I did in the shailas that you asked me last week. Morichami hagon to lo kapit v'lo kaptin badei yavri yuno alav b'sova smachos. And he says, and I hope I don't have the same effect on you by writing this letter back to you. You know, your daughter should have a richus yavim, everything should be yaniach advar, or. Oh, the other option is maybe you should be makbid like me. Yaniach hadvar matishbav shchal yis b'shabbos avaleinu l'tova, or you could wait till tishbav. That's chal b'shabbos. V'umlay umbein kach yapel chasas l'simchim kein gam yibalam avos l'netzav pshita d'lekasu kpeda. So he says I have three plans of how you can do this. Either you could not be makbid and just be you, or you could start being makbid and wait till tishbav. Or, God willing, Tishma's going to be yamtav anyway, but then Bila Mavis Lanetzach, so we don't have to worry that we're going to kill anyone by having this conversation. So that's how he starts. But the impression that you get is that he was learning Iyun during the Shiva. The Mi'iri Moy Katnav Chafalev makes the point of saying Divrei Musar is Mutter. Taz and Archaim Tovkufen and Gimel Sivkan Beis says specifically Pirkei Avos and Tishbav is Mutter. And Birkei Yosef agrees, and the Chara Hu Adin for an Avel, and that's what Yalkut Yosef says over here as well, that Pirkei Avos is Mutter. The Geshar Chaim says similarly. However, the Ramah Paskins Ta'asar on Tisha B'Av, and the Prima Gadim says that even an Avel shouldn't say Pirkei Avos on Shabbos. So there's machlokas about Pirkei Avos. Pashtus is, even if Dvar Marayim or Mutter B'Iyun, Pirkei Avos probably not Mutter B'Iyun. The Shulchan Aruch in Tavkuf Mandalit says about Tishba that you're allowed to read Kol Seder Ayom, Parshas HaKorbanos, Ezo Mekoman, Rabbi Shmuel Lomer, And the Mishnah Berurah says, if you don't say Ezu Mekomen, it's Talos Ubiyadam, because anything that's Seder Ayom is not an Isra of Talmud Torah for a novel. And Pesachi Tshuva over here in Shin Pei Dalet of Kodem Beis says you shouldn't say the Hiratzon Kilu HaKrafti, and you shouldn't say Pidim HaKetores. Okay, so you look in the Avela Seder, they tell you exactly what you can and cannot say. There's still many more elements of the Talmud Torah to discuss, namely Aliyah LeTorah, learning on Shabbos Yom Tov, Shmur Ava Agada Bebeis HaAvel, learning other Chachmos, hear her B'divrei Torah, and then we'll have She'el HaShalom as well. So Bez Hashem, we'll get into all that stuff tomorrow. So have a great day, everyone.